Welcome to this fourth module in the Microsoft Virtual Academy course around Active Directory enhancements that have come out in Windows Server 2012. We're now moving across to the subject around cloning domain controllers. Up until this point, we've understood some of the small changes that have come along the way within the support of Active Directory. Now we're looking at the next step around how do I actually start to look at supporting the cloning of virtualization for domain controllers. Windows Server 2012 brought the feature of support in from Microsoft around cloning domain controllers and being able to repeatedly use them out into your infrastructure. What we'll look at now is actually understanding the steps that are required to actually start to move towards making this more of a frequent usage in your environments for moving and deploying virtual domain controllers with a standard configuration out into the rest of your environment. This process really starts to improve the move for IT support people to look at moving to a public, private, and possibly hybrid cloud scenarios where you'd want to repeatedly push out these components. So within this module now, we're going to look at the safe virtualization of domain controllers, understand the process for virtualizing them, and the steps that are required that once you've completed this, to actually deploy a cloned domain controller out into your environment. When the domain controller starts within Windows Server 2012, it looks for a mismatch between the identifier on a virtual machine and the identifier in the domain controller's actual object in Active Directory. If there is a mismatch, the latest RID pool and USN numbers are pushed out to that domain controller to ensure that it brings up from a supportability perspective. So we'll understand from this module what are the steps and components required and how would that actually work to actually start supporting the virtualization of domain controllers in your environment. So we'll move across now to the demo component and have a look at the actual steps that are required to actually push out a domain controller that is virtualized in your environment. So we'll move across to this infrastructure now and get a bit of a view of what the actual process is from configuring and then moving towards pushing out. So we've come back to our trusty domain controller again. We're going to move back into the Active Directory Administrative Center and start to work within that component. So the first piece will actually be to understand what do we actually do with the domain controller that we want to clone and want to use. If we drill into our Contoso environment, we'll start to look at how we would use that. If we drill down to the users piece, and the piece that we want to focus on is the actual clonable domain controllers group that is created by default. So within this now, we'd want to add in a domain controller that would then be allowed to be cloned, and Active Directory would be aware of this machine and its components that will start to be virtualized and repeatedly used out in the environment. So if we move into the clonable domain controllers, and we click on Add, select the correct object type. So in the wrong section, it's actually the members we want to add into. Change to the computers. Select number 2. Okay. And basically this has now been added into this group from a membership perspective, and now that domain controller would be ready to use from a virtualization perspective to actually clone and work with. Ideally, once you've completed this process, it would be worthwhile removing that object out of that clonable domain controllers group. Now what we're going to do is we're going to move back out and go back into the actual module for PowerShell, the AD module. Module load, as we see over there, bring up our component and actual steps that we're going to work with for the next little while. And the first step really is to look at what services are compatible and possibly one service we want to leave in before we actually clone that domain controller. So the first component that we're going to run is this step over here. To get a view of the services that will be excluded from the cloning process. And here we have a slight view into the services that are running on that domain controller itself, the one we've selected now. That'll be normal system center endpoint protection, plus some of the security components around that, some of the applications that are installed, and possibly the DHCP service that we might not want to clone and send across with that component. If we'd want to make a change to that, We then have to edit the relevant XML file to add or remove services or programs outside of that. So let's have a quick look at generating that XML file now. We'll run this step over here. We have a path of where it has been written to, so the Windows NTDS. Let's have a quick look at that file, that location. Slight view of exactly that same list we saw in the actual PowerShell prompt itself. Now we can start to work with these and manipulate this actual XML file to what we do want to add or remove in from a status perspective. Now what we want to do is we actually want to configure a file to ensure that when this domain controller does boot up, how it's configured, the look, the sites, the location, the name, etc. And this file will be referenced when we have this virtual machine that has been cloned boot up on the very first time. So what we're going to do now is we're going to actually run this command over here around adding a new clone config file, and we will run it with the relevant components from a configuration perspective. So I'll double check the actual computer name that I put in here. Run that again and double check. Well, it would help if I was on the correct box itself. In this case, we'd logged onto the normal domain controller, which was not added in. We'll just connect across to that one. We'll log into DC2, and while that opens up, just step back quickly to this location and get a view that it had run the command on the MVA-DC, which I should not have been logged into and not completed, and basically it's come back and said that the configuration file won't be created for us, as this particular machine is not part of that domain controllers clonable domain controllers group, which we see sitting over here. So step back out. Go back to our DC2, log into this component over here. We'll do exactly that same process of bringing up PowerShell and generating that XML file itself. We'll give it a second for that module to load. And while it does, we'll bring the actual file across that we were using a few seconds ago. And we can manipulate those commands on the correct domain controller. Get a quick view of that look quickly. Cool, great. We're happy with the list that's been generated. We'll now generate that component with the XML file itself. Great, the file's been happy. And now we'll run that component of actually generating the file that will be used on first boot up by the particular box itself. Great, it's happy. Created the configuration file, was generated at the relevant location with the DC clone config XML file. And now that we can actually use that file for boot up when this machine actually gets used. If we were to move one step back up again, have a quick look at what we've actually done in that particular box. Give us a bit more access into viewing what this look and feel is like. So So ideally we've selected the IP address that'll come up, the relevant gateway, the relevant mask, and this is the configuration that we used on that box when it starts up, what site it will be sitting inside of, and what that new machine name will be called when it starts up and deploys it on the other side. Now from this perspective, it would be a matter of shutting this machine down. Letting that complete, moving back to Hyper-V, giving DC2 a chance to shut down. Let's get a view of where it is. There, it's shut down. And then it'll be a matter of exporting this machine, wherever we'd want to store it, and then re-importing that and allowing that machine to start up. The clone DC will then read that actual DC clone config.xml file and will then configure it accordingly based on the settings that we had selected. And so we could repeatedly use that content for rolling out those domain controllers in our environment. So that would be the normal process to actually move and roll out the domain controllers from a virtualization perspective. If we look at the summary for this module now, we have a view of what the cloning process is about, the components that are included in this, as well as the support going forward for virtualizing domain controllers. And the thinking behind this and providing more support and more feature sets along this way is to really support IT professionals as they move from this on-premises physical environment towards a private cloud environment, possibly stretching to public, and possibly having both. How do I start to have a standard configuration for my domain controllers that can be used in those various locations? Possibly deploying out in virtualized environments geographically dispersed, moving to Microsoft Azure and possibly hosting my domain controllers and stretching my actual network out into that environment. And along that way, ensuring that IT pros or administrators who are looking after Active Directory have this consistent and repeatable deployment of the Active Directory domain services. So that's a short look and feel at the process of how do I configure the steps, how do I work with the XML files, how would I want to manipulate those to support my own environment and my own custom services I might have running on my existing domain controllers, and then actually exporting that content and then repeatably importing and using it as we go forward for different purposes and different services. And that closes off this module around the cloning of domain controllers in a virtualized environment.